Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Hey, welcome back. It's another week in On the Mark, and I am delighted to be here with you. We have an open phone day for at least part of the day. We do have a correspondent who's going to be giving us a call in about 20-30 minutes or so to talk about the situation in Washington with the speakership of the House of Representatives. But right now, the phone lines are open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but be sure to put OTM at the start of your message. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. They're a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and the Kia dealership is on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize there in all types of service on vehicles, state inspection, nitrogen for tires, and they're open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturday from 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials or build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles, and they are a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks. And they have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, an alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles. They are a master towing service with decades of experience. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. And guess what? I will say this to our producer. I don't see who the callers are on my screen. So I must have pushed the wrong button somewhere this morning. But we'll start off with the first caller. Who's this, may I ask?
Take a guess, Joe.
Eric, it's Eric. All right. I hear you, Eric.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Welcome to another week.
Yes.
So I know we're going to be talking later about the Speaker of the House, but I want to bring up one other item, which maybe we can talk about later in the week, too, and it involves gun safety. Certainly one of the topics I've called in about and so forth. Well, there's a new organization called Citizens for Gun Safety has been formed here in Snyder County. And one of the members, Todd Wenrick, had a very interesting letter to the editor to the Daily Item. I think it appeared in Friday's paper, where he talks about gun safety as really being a public health crisis. And I encourage people to get the Daily Item or go online and check out his article. It's a short article, letter to the editor. But it talks about, you know, some common sense legislation we could look at before we have another mass incident. And we know they're going to occur because it's just simply a matter of time. But I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, Citizens for Gun Safety, which organization which I'm also interested in, I attended one of their meetings last week, and we're like citizens. It's not anti-gun. It's not anti-gun. It's for responsible gun ownership. People like myself who own firearms and believe it's our right to own firearms, but also believing that with that right comes responsibilities, and we need additional legislation such as requirements for having those guns safe. For instance, one of the thoughts we're having is if you purchase a weapon, you must also then purchase a safe to have that weapon in. Gun safes are relatively inexpensive. I guess I don't know anyone who owns a firearm that I'm aware of who doesn't have at least a gun cabinet which is locked up. But I know a lot of people who have handguns and keep them just in the bureau drawer, you know. And our biggest concern, of course, is about, I get back to the kids. And one of the items we have is if you buy a firearm, which can cost, you know, a new one, probably, you know, close to $1,000, you can afford that, then you can also afford to then buy a handgun safe, which you can get for $100 or a couple hundred dollars.
But what if you already have one? Do you have to have proof of it before you?
Have a weapon?
No, I have a safe at home because I've been forced to buy one because of your law going through. And so now I want to buy another gun. Do I have to buy another safe? Or do I have to bring proof that I have an existing safe before you'll sell me the gun?
The safes that the one I have covers, can hold multiple weapons.
I agree. Now, my question is, what do I have to require from you as proof that you actually have one before I sell you another gun?
Well, let's take the first step and require one to begin with, and then we'll go from there.
Well, but we can't go from there because that means the first people who don't have a safe now will never be compelled to buy one unless they buy another gun. But people who do buy a gun and have a safe would have to provide some sort of proof, wouldn't they? Otherwise, they'd be required to buy another safe.
Then a way maybe look at it is from the homeowner side of it, the homeowner insurance side of it. If you have a weapon and that puts you at greater liability to have an incident where you could be, a homeowner's claim. Most homeowners have, some sort of injury coverage and so forth, which could include certainly someone getting a hold of the gun and one of the kids getting a hold of them shooting themselves or shooting another kid. Then maybe that's where we have to go, where the insurance companies say, hey, if you have a weapon, you have to have a safe in the house to, if we look at it as a health crisis, which is what our group is looking at, because of the mass number of kids who, shoot themselves, shoot other kids, and that's not even looking at the mass shootings at schools and so forth, which, of course, I have gone on this show many times and talked about. But whatever it takes to have those guns safe, and then if an incident happens where your firearm has not been secured and someone gets injured, you're liable.
Okay, so in other words, I can never take that firearm out of my safe for any reason except to defend myself in an emergency?
Not at all.
But if I take it out and something bad happens to it, you're telling me I'm going to go to jail.
But then is it under your control? If you have it and it's out of your control and something happens, then of course you'd be liable, right?
You would be, but let's say you entrust it to some place way out of reach. Some reasonable person would assume that no one else in the family would be able to get it. No one small enough to cause a problem with it would be able to get it. So I put it way up high on a shelf and I have to use the restroom for a minute, and somehow the kid gets a hold of it and does something. Am I now liable? Because it wasn't in the gun safe?
Why would you take it out of your safe and put it up there?
Because I was going to clean it. I was going to do something with it, but I had to go to the bathroom.
No, it's kind of like what happened down in Maryland, you mean?
I'm just saying the terrible accidents happen, and I don't think, and with all due respect to your suggestion, which isn't a bad one, I don't see that as solving the problem.
But I think it's a step towards it, Joe. And so many times we've had this argument and we end up throwing our hands up and say we can't do anything.
Well, I agree. We do that.
Step towards it.
I agree. We do that.
Yeah. And so this would be a step towards it, one step towards, and at the same time, us gun owners also realize what happened to our neighbors to the north, where they outlawed handguns. They finally got sick of it and said no more handguns. And I do not want to see that happen here. I think they're used for protection. I have one, and I keep it locked in the safe. But with that right, the right to bear arms,
right,
also comes responsibilities. And that is the perspective we're taking for this new group, Citizens for Gun Safety.
But there are a lot of people who are killed by drunk drivers. Should we require everybody to have a breathalyzer before they get behind the wheel of a car?
Well, again, it's that position of occurrence and so forth. You can get pulled over too if you're acting irresponsibly.
True.
Right.
Yeah. If I demonstrate,
right?
if I demonstrate
in your house, they're going to come after you.
But if I demonstrate irresponsibility by driving drunk and the police see me, they're going to arrest me and stop me for that. But that's punishing me. But by requiring everybody to take a breathalyzer before they get on the road, that's punishing everybody. What I'm saying?
You're going to the ultimate ludicrousness of this, Joe.
Well, there are some people who would say requiring everybody to buy a gun and a safe at the same time is the ultimate in ludicrousness. I'm not, but I'm saying other people might.
But what happens is you're talking about an action you're taking by driving drunk. I'm talking about the fact that, you are responsible to keep things safe. in your home.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you can guarantee that no one under the age of 21 ever comes in your home, you don't have kids, you don't have nephews, nieces, or whatever. But you know, who can say that?
Well, I can tell you, we have another caller that I have to take. Actually, we have two other callers. We have a call pending. But here's the thing: that's like saying if I get medicine from the pharmacy and I don't have a childproof cap on the top of it, and a child winds up getting the medication and getting sick, or God forbid, dying, then I'm responsible. And I don't think we can say that. We'll have to have more of this conversation another day, Eric. We got to move on. We have Stan and Bill hanging on the line. Good morning, Stan. You're next.
Good morning. Oh, I love these gun owners that support the Second Amendment, but anyways, they make me laugh. You had Eric stutter in there for a bit, Joe. I was impressed.
Well, thanks.
What are you going to do to make people buy a safe if they already have one? How are you going to prove that? You know, that's the idiocy of what they want to do. Instead of going after the criminals, the people that are causing the problem, they want to go after the law-abiding. Sorry, that doesn't fly here, because an inaccessible firearm is a worthless firearm if you want to use it for protection. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, you know, but that's not what. And a health crisis? Come on. What's the health crisis?
Well, other people have called it that.
I know they have. It's because they're trying to get some sort of a legislation that, you know, comes under CDC, and it's, you know, they can throw out a health emergency, blah, 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 just like they did with COVID, and then put government restrictions on everything, you know, in violation of people's rights. That's what they're trying to do. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
So, we need to stop World War III. All right?
Certainly,
and there's only one
like
way World War III is going to be stopped.
And that is?
The terrorists need to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Well, first we have to identify them.
Well, Hamas has pretty much identified themselves. They're in Gaza.
Yeah, but they don't walk around with a star. Like, the Germans required the Jews to wear a Star of David. We don't have any way to require them to physically or overtly identify themselves so that we can wipe them out.
Well, then, because the people in Gaza elected those people as their leadership, that would make everyone a member of Hamas, correct? Are we going to paint this with a broad brush?
Well, that's too broad a brush. I don't think that the people of Palestine, I mean, I could vote for Donald Trump but not agree with what Donald Trump does. Right?
I agree, Joe. I agree. But they need, but the people in Palestine, I mean, in Gaza, the ones that don't support Hamas know who they are. They know who they are. You know, and yesterday, the IDF brought a bunch of journalists together, you know, the ones that are reporting that right away the Israelis are the blame for the hospital getting blown up, for example,
mm-hmm.
and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we all know that was a false statement from the press, but they went with it until they were proven wrong, and then they slowly backed off of that and didn't, you know, put that in, you know, the hospital was above the fold, the backing off was on the back page, okay? That's how the press plays that. But they brought together these journalists to show them raw footage that the Israelis gathered from all the GoPros that the terrorists on October 7th were using when they were butchering the Israelis, to show them just exactly what kind of butchery they were doing.
All right? And well, you know what I find troubling is the coverage the networks are giving this now. I mean, they were on Israel's side to begin with, but now all the coverage I've seen talks about Israelis pounded Hamas again, or pounded the Gaza Strip again last night, Gaza City, they pounded it. There's this, there's that. You know, they've only allowed in, 20 trucks to when they need 47 trucks of humanitarian aid a day. You know, it seems to me that the coverage has shifted now, and then instead of reflecting on what was done to Israel to prompt this response, they're focused on the response and whether or not that should be the proper response.
And that's true, but I don't believe Hamas has stopped firing rockets and whatever else they got into Israel, have
they? Well, if they haven't, there's no coverage of it on the news I've seen from the major networks.
That's because they haven't, and evidently the Israelis have also struck on the West Bank and up into the north.
And then CNN ran a report this morning, at least I saw it on their website, where they're still holding into some dispute the fact that the Israelis bombed the hospital or didn't bomb the hospital. They're saying, you know, in effect, they're saying, well, it could have been that, but without actual fragments of the bomb itself, we can't really tell. You know, it's pretty obvious that it wasn't the Israelis who did it. It's really obvious that they didn't do it. And yet still the mainstream media wants to stick that out there so that Talisha Raheib and all that group can feel better about what they're doing.
Right. So they support the terrorists. Take the word of the terrorists. Okay? The ones that started this by butchering people, you know, in their homes, at concerts. They butchered them.
Right.
Okay? Shot them in the head, burn them in their cars, raped them, whatever. They butchered them. You know, you think Genghis Khan was riding through the freaking Israel. You know, just butchering and mayhem. Death and mayhem. That's all they brought. Now they don't expect that to happen to them? I'm sorry. Retribution is coming to them.
Okay. Hey.
And, you know, time will tell what happens. But always remember, guns aren't the problem. It's the people behind them.
Fair enough.
Right,
Thank
Eric?
You. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
You too. We have to take a quick break. Bill, hang on, Al. We will get to you just as fast as we can. You're listening to On the Mark and WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Autumn is back, and with it comes cold and flu season. RSV viruses and COVID-19 are still roughing up a lot of people. Protect yourself and your family through the holiday season. Get a flu shot and the latest COVID-19 variant booster from a local healthcare provider, and get a checkup while you're at it. Yearly visits with a healthcare provider are key to catching preventable illnesses early. Find a healthcare provider and get information on updated vaccines at checkyourselfcentralpa.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Exergen thermometers are proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Clinical studies have proven that non-contact thermometers are inaccurate and can miss fevers. Accuracy matters. That's why the Exergen thermometer is trusted and used by medical professionals. Exergen thermometers are available at many fine retailers. Choose a trusted and accurate thermometer for personal use. Learn more about why accuracy matters. Available at Walmart and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. The program brought to you this morning and every morning, Monday through Thursday, by the good folks at Sunbury Motors, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. We do have Scott McFarlane from CBS calling in at 9:30, or we'll be contacting him to talk a little bit about what's going on in Washington. But in the meantime, we have Bill. We have three callers on the line, so we'll take Bill first since he was online. And the others, you can either hang on or call back after Scott McFarlane. So, Bill, you're on the mark. Good morning.
Hey, real quick, on the guns, right? They were trying to abolish the Second Amendment. They got 86,000 armed IRA agents. They want to come into your house and do inventories and declude wealth tax.
The IRA, that's the Irish Republican Army. Isn't it? Or am I wrong?
Call in. Why is Biden and Schumer, right, the requesting funding, right? They should have a single military package funding for Israel, a single military package for Hamas. Schumer and Biden administration put in funding for $14 billion for Israel. He put in $100 million for the Gaza, right?
Right.
But, like, his speech, he went back and forth. Why is he tying in $60 billion for Ukraine? Because they're blackmailing our president. He put in $10 billion for general humanitarian aid with really nothing, right? You know how they line items they put in, right? He also added $14 billion to process illegal immigrants faster into the Israel, Hamas, Gaza money aid package. He's underlining $14 billion for illegal faster processing at the border. But he's putting up 20 miles, but just keep coming in. Ask him why this bill package was presented to Congress to get passed.
Well, we're certainly giving away a lot of money. I mean, there's no doubt about that, and I don't know exactly what we're getting for it, if we're getting good value for that money or not. But, you know,
You understand how Biden's funding both sides?
Well, I mean, he's almost got to do that to some extent. I mean, let's face it.
No, no. He took down all the terroristic things. He's releasing money. He decreased our oil production to almost nothing. Iranian has gotten $100 billion richer since Biden has been in office, which makes drones tells the Russia that watch Ukraine. And we fund Ukraine.
Okay, we do.
You know, you understand. Like, this administration is, like, so out of touch. And Biden has proven on the take where, remember I said in the past that the House went on for impeachment inquiry? They don't want to impeach him. They just want to have subpoena power. Well, right now, Joe Biden's summer home in 2017, a $2.7 million home, when Hunter's WhatsApp message to the Chinese business partner, Mr. Z, you better come up with the money because my dad's sitting right next to me. Well, within weeks, they released that money, and the summer home was purchased.
Okay, listen, Bill, we had
a two-year span, and the House was going after. Biden can't produce $5.2 million worth of income.
Okay, Bill from Bloomsburg, call us back after we talk to Scott McFarland from CBS, and we'll have more open phones. And you're welcome to hang on, Joseph, if you want to, until we get back. But right now, we are delighted to have Scott McFarland. He is a congressional correspondent for CBS News. He reports on all of their broadcasts and platforms. Scott brings a wealth of experience to the Capitol Hill beat, having covered Washington, D.C. and the federal government for nearly 20 years. Prior to CBS News, Scott was a Washington-based political and investigative reporter for NBC's local station for 8 years, where he interviewed U.S. presidents, dozens of senators, governors, and public officials. And this morning, he's on the Mark to help us make some sense of what big jobs got. But
let me know.
I have, what, 9 people in the running for the House. Any betting on who ill?
Yes, I've only been here a few years. Conservative Republican Study Committee group inside the Republican Conference. 7 of the 9 voted to decertify the 2020 elections. Only 2 voted to certify an election that was legitimate and ignored the baseless election fraud claims. One of them is Tom Emmer, House Republican whip from Minnesota. He's the highest ranking of the 9 candidates. He's actually in leadership, which means he has an infrastructure. But that vote to certify the election is going to run afoul of some of the Trump supporters here in Congress. That may doom his candidacy.
Is that a litmus test? You have to agree the election was stolen in 2020 before you can be considered for this position?
It's been true in a lot of Republican primary races and a lot of Republican votes. Let's see if it wins the day and rules the day when they have this speaker election or they choose their nominee. But it's already been vocalized over the weekend from Trump supporters, including Steve Bannon, that Emmer's not acceptable because he didn't vote to decertify the election. It may be a pivotal issue, but it really is just one of the things that's going to be sticky here. You have all the other issues involving the government shutdown, which is scheduled to happen November 17th, unless Congress can reorganize and find a way to pass a spending bill. where are these nine going to stand on government spending, whether to cut a deal with Democrats to keep the government open? That's what's going to have to happen for the government to stay open, but does that doom their candidacy with Republican votes? And there's the issue of Ukraine funding. Dozens of House Republicans don't want to continue spending for Ukraine, but Senate Republicans, the administration does, and many House Republicans do too. Is that wedge issue going to doom some of these candidates?